السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبيع بيعكم على بعض بيع، وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا، المسلم أخو المسلم، إلى آخر الحديث، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, we are indeed favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kuntum khayra ummah, the best of nations. And indeed, it is something that we need to acknowledge, we need to appreciate both in our hearts and in our actions. When we say we appreciating something, then that appreciation goes beyond mere verbal praises and acknowledgement of that bounty. It has to translate into some tangible act which now displays one's appreciation. So being part of this noble and this great ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will truly understand the importance and the significance and the value of being from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those fortunate ones who drinks from the kawthar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the blessed and mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, if we study this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what was the condition of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we can learn some important lessons, and we can all collectively make an effort to try and restore the former glory which was once upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will quote our late Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayh. He used to give a very beautiful example. He used to say that such was the condition of Madinatul Munawwara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just if we may digress to give us context, what was the condition of the Arabs prior to the advent of Islam? We know it was known as the period of ignorance, Al-Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, where there was nothing but oppression, suppression, aggression, the usurping of the rights of each other, a lack of consideration. And it was mentioned, and you will find in the books of history, that not even the rulers of that time wanted to rule over the Arabs, because they said these people were worse than animals. They were so barbaric. They were so crude. But we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made such an effort on these noble companions, these Sahaba ikram, who we now admire. And coming back to that incident and the comment of Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he said such was the condition of Madinatul Munawwara that if there were hypothetically 100 people living in Madinatul Munawwara, and one individual was going through a moment of happiness, perhaps his daughter got married, or perhaps there was a birth in the family, or some achievement, then there were 99 individuals to share in that happiness. And on the contrary, if one person was going through some pain, some affliction, some hardship, some difficulty, there were 99 people there to support him, to assist him, to motivate him, to encourage him. I don't know too much about our locality, but generally speaking, what is the condition of the Muslim Ummah currently? We hear this very often, that sometimes it's the very Muslims who are doing Muslims down. That we become very, as a community collectively, we get a little bit, we take some enjoyment when we hear that, you know, a rival business, Muslim businessman has, you know, is losing some customers. We celebrate it secretly within the confines of our businesses. We're happy. What a total contrast to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our condition has become such that we are waiting to find the fault of each other. We want to run the next person down. We want to destroy another organization. We want to destroy the reputation of this person. We engage in campaigns of character assassinations. What a contrast to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, I will quote our latest Mu'anis Patel Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. He used to say in his dua that, Ya Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this ummah in one piece. Today we have fragmented the ummah into a million pieces, and we are still engaging in further fragmentation. And this is why the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite our large numbers, we have become so ineffective. We have become so ineffective despite our large numbers. We boast and we say that we are, you know, the fastest growing religion. And even if we take in our little province or our country, we say the Muslims are so strong. We've got so many organizations. We've got so many Darul Ulooms. We've got so many makatib. We've got so many institutions. But how ineffective we've become. My current Shaykh Hazrat Shah Muhammad Nazir Sahib Damat Barakatuh, he gives a beautiful example. He says, you take this hand. You take this hand and you keep the fingers far apart. And you now hit somebody with that hand. What will happen is that the person may even injure those fingers. He may even break a finger or two. But if you take the same hand and you bring the fingers close together, and now you hit the person, not that we're condoning hitting someone, it's an example. But now if you hit the person with the fingers close together, it's the same fingers. They were once far apart, but now they've gathered together on a common cause. They found some common ground, and they've gathered together, they've united, and now see the power and see the effect of that blow. If we may say, it'll be an uppercut on the lower jaw, and it'll completely knock the person down. This is what has happened to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the strategy of shaitan. Shaitan wants to create, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ. Shaitan wants to create this animosity, this hatred, this fragmentation within the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore we have to understand that we have a responsibility, each and every individual. And before we point fingers at this one and that organization and, you know, that senior and this senior and that, let us look at our own selves. Let us look at within our own little families. What is the level of unity within our own home? What is the level of unity within our own little family? And these are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, because it is a responsibility. For after all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the ummah as one body. And subhanallah, the solutions are there. If you look at the Quran and Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that the believers are brothers to one another. And what makes us brothers? It is this iman that makes us brothers. You find that in a family, you will say that he is my blood brother. So what links us together? We have a common father and a common mother. So we say that we are linked together because of our parents. It is a nisbat that connects us to each other. This nisbat of Iman is one of the greatest nisbat that can be acknowledged and that can be mentioned, that the person has got a link, that he has got belief in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Iman is within his heart. And that Iman then links us to one another. That yes, he is, the color of his skin may be different from mine. The country from which he comes may be different from my country. His financial condition and his financial standing may be different from mine. But we have a common link. We both have been blessed with Iman. We both believe in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that links us together. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَدَسْ to one another. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages and exhorts, فَأَصْلِعُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Just to summarize it, that you should make an effort to maintain this relationship. You should make an effort to maintain this relationship of brotherhood amongst the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is a responsibility, it is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we find there are individuals within the broader Muslim community who actually enjoy creating divisions within the ummah. You heard what this one said. You heard what that organization said. You heard what he said about you. We are creating discord. In fact, the ulama-i kiram explained that there are certain occasions where a white lie is even permissible. That when two individuals are fighting with each other, you should, even if it means, you know, speaking a white lie, that, you know, I came from this person, and you know, he's speaking some good things about you. Even if you speak a bit of a lie then, but your intention is to bring these two parties together, you will be rewarded for this action. But today we find the total opposite is happening. That people are engaged, they take joy, they like this drama. I managed to separate these two parties and these two organizations, and I created the division between the uncle and the nephew, and between the brother and the sister. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. How will we face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah? That if the Nabi of Allah is to question us, that you further divided my ummah, how will we question and answer Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Therefore, respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That if you want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adopt this quality of taqwa. Allah is aware of your actions. Allah is well aware of your effort to try and maintain unity within the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah is also aware of those individuals, those corrupt individuals, or those individuals who have succumbed to the plots of shaitan in dividing the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us some important techniques and characters that we can implement in our life to create this unity within the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to maintain this unity within Rasulullah within the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we will just mention a few in the limited time that we have. And it's not about completing every single piece of advice, but it is more about our ability to make amal on whatever we've heard. Even if it's a little advice, may Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq. The first of these advice, لا تحاسد. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, do not harbor jealousy for each other. We find that one of the reasons for animosity and for divisions within the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is this malady of jealousy. That we become jealous when we burn within our heart when we see someone prospering. When we see a certain organization, you know, becoming more accepted within a community. When we see a certain doctor getting more patients. If it is a lawyer, he sees, you know, there's more clients going to that particular lawyer. Now that jealousy burns within the heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدْ. That save yourself from jealousy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That this jealousy is such a dangerous malady that it destroys your good deeds, just as fire causes dry wood to be burnt out. May Allah ta'ala protect us. So on the one hand, alhamdulillah, we are doing lots of good deeds. Lots of good deeds, and we should continue with our good deeds. But if with the good deeds, we are also becoming jealous over the achievements of others, we are burning over the achievements of others, then without realizing it, shaitan is slowly hijacking all our good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So we need to look into our hearts. I cannot say whether the next person has got jealousy or not. But sometimes you can see the activities of a person. And these are signs that there is a likelihood that this person is jealous. That the doctor now, somebody says, you know, that so-and-so doctor is very good. You say, yeah, no doubt, but. So now the intention of the but is to destroy the reputation of that doctor. Because the person is burning at the fact that this doctor has been praised before us. And it's not only doctors, it can be amongst the ulama-i kiram, because they are also human beings. That a certain alim, mashallah, is getting a lot of recognition within the community. Lots of people are getting hidayat on his hands. And another alim perhaps is in that community, who may be more senior, maybe more older, perhaps he's even the ustad of that person. And now he becomes jealous. And I say, no, but you know, he didn't even know his sabak properly. So now he engages in that activity to destroy the reputation of that person. Actually, we should be so excited that alhamdulillah, another alim has come and more people are going to get hidayat on his hands. Inshallah, this be a greater boon for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become happy. More people will be linked to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because of the weakness of the heart, because of that disease within our hearts, we now engage in this character assassination. And it can happen on an organizational level. Therefore, we need to look deep into our hearts. Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib, rahmatullah, he's got a beautiful couplet of poetry, which again I heard from our late Maulana Patel Sahib, rahmatullah. He used to say, "Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho?" He says, "Why are you burning in this fire of jealousy?" Because this is what it is. This jealousy, it is a fire which consumes and devours a person even emotionally. The person is never satisfied with what is happening to him. He's always looking at the person over there. Two more customers came in his store. The person had 10 customers, but he saw 12 going there. He's not even happy with the 10 that he has. So that in itself is destruction for him. Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Why are you burning in this fire of jealousy? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? In effect, the person is actually heading towards the fire of Jahannam. Because remember, every single sin has got a link to the fire of Jahannam. Hence you will find, just to digress, that there is no sin except that it will bring restlessness in a person's heart and life. You look at any sin across the board. If a person engages in that sin, there will always be some restlessness and anxiety that will haunt the person behind. It will always be haunting you. Because it is what is linked to the headquarters, which is Jahannam. Lahum fiha zafiru wa shahiq. The people of Jahannam are in nothing but distress, anxiety, misery, worry. So every sin has got its link to the fire of Jahannam. And when we engage in the sin of jealousy, then without realizing, we are going to expose ourselves to anxiety, to misery, to worry. And today we are looking for peace and tranquility. So he says, Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Why are you walking towards the fire of Jahannam? Khuda ke taqseem pe tum ho naraz, kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? He says that why are you actually angry with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And subhanallah, in this is actually one of the cures of jealousy. That if we really look at it, whether it is reputation, whether it is honor, whether it is wealth, whether it is power, these are all bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has declared in the Quran Majid, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grants wealth and kingdom and bounties to whomsoever He wishes. Allah takes it away from whomsoever He wishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors whomsoever He wishes. Allah disgraces whomsoever He wishes. Everything is in the control and the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah in His hikmah and His wisdom has decided that a certain individual should be given honor in that society. Are you angry with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it that Allah must call us and say, listen, what is your mashwara? Should I give this person so much of respect? Should I bless this person with so much of wealth? Should I make this person so handsome? Should I bless this person with so many children? Should I allow so many customers to go to this individual's business house? Who are we that Allah must make mashwara with us? Allah is independent. Allah makes decisions without our mashwara. And therefore, we have to learn to submit to the decisions and the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not know the condition of the next person. Sometimes you may see a person appearing to be in a very wonderful condition, but we do not know. Each person is being tested on different levels. We do not know the test of the next person. Therefore, be contented with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you. This is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first advice, the time is already expired, there's so much more to go. But nevertheless, may Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal of just this one. For again, to recap for those who have come now, we are speaking about the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this ummah as a united ummah, a powerful ummah, an effective ummah, a dynamic ummah. But today we find that the ummah has grown exponentially. Despite the large number that the ummah enjoys, we have become ineffective. We have become absolutely, if we may say, for lack of a better word, useless. Today we find it within our own communities, there's no unity whatsoever. And in fact, we find that organizations and individuals are engaging in the destruction of the next organization, in the character assassination of each other, which is completely against the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. Allah has granted us a bond of iman. We must learn to unite on common grounds. May Allah restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, respected elders and brothers, there will always be differences of opinion. There will always be diversity. But remember, Allah has made it such that this world has to be diverse. If everyone in this masjid was inclined to one particular color, the color white for example, then this world would not have been a colorful place. Allah has made it such that we have diverse views, we have differing opinions, but we have to find common ground and we have to learn to unite on these common causes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. And one of those qualities to implement to avoid divisions within the ummah is rid oneself of jealousy. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدْ. For this jealousy will devour our good deeds just as fire will devour dry wood. May Allah ta'ala grant me and the entire ummah the tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.